I mean, speaking about TV, have you guys locked into any kind of shows where you never thought you would? Like, I am so into HGTV right now, it's just, I can't take it.
No, I have not necessarily, but I heard through the internal email that Crave TV is opening up a free subscription for 30 days to all Canadians. So if you're looking to stream, if you want HBO, you want Showtime up here, there's a ton of great shows on Crave TV. You just got to go to the website, and you're going to get locked in, free trial for 30 days.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty
I
sweet.
I like that. In light of what's going on, you should have access to a lot of things that, you know, would, for lack of better words, kill your time or get you through it. And shows are right at the forefront. I mean, I've got all my favorite shows. You guys know I watch so much on the plane and traveling and that. So it's nice to see, like, SEAL Team has added new episodes. Last night I watched Homeland season 8. I think it was episode 7 was on last night, and that was, man, oh man, what a great show. Like, there's some amazing ones out there, and to your point, there's new ones that you kind of stumble across as somebody gives you like a recommendation, hey try that one,
right.
And then you just get wired in.
Well, let's see what our boy James Duthie is up to. He should be preparing to go to Augusta National in a couple of weeks. Preparing for a long playoff run up here, preparing for the CFL to begin at some point, MLS. I mean, he's a man of many talents and the host of many different panels. But at this point, I guess he's just a regular guy like everyone else. Here's
King
James
of sweatpants, just yeah. Like the rest of you boys. Oh, sorry, not king of the robe like one certain guy up in Kleinberg. First of all, just on the TV topic, because I was listening to you guys for the last minute, definitely go for the free Crave subscription, all you listeners. Letterkenny. Featuring an episode with the panel.
Right.
Jeff O'Neill, brilliant acting. Goon 2, featuring a brilliant, nuanced performance by a certain sportscaster. Don't like to brag. But the one I texted O-Dog earlier, I should have included you guys on the text. The one I discovered today, which is probably on Crave, but I found it on the Netflix, is Tiger King. Have you heard about
that? I have heard. It is a phenom online.
Bonkers.
What's the story here? Like, don't give it away.
So, no spoilers. It is a documentary, 7-part series about, I mean, it's named after one particular guy who has, like, one of those tiger zoo, big cats, they call them, because it's not just tigers. They got snow leopards and all sorts of things. But it's basically about a bunch of bonkers people that have big cat zoos, you know, those, not, I don't even call them zoos, right? Those cruddy little zoos you have down in Florida,
right,
in Oklahoma. But the characters are so bat bleep crazy. And I'm only on episode 3, and it just gets crazier by the minute, that I cannot recommend it enough.
So it's not like a reality. Is it a reality show?
No, it's
show
a pure documentary.
It's a documentary. So they're not putting it on. These are real people.
All these people are 100% real. Although you will not believe it, like I said, by the time you get to episode 3, you're like, how can this be real? These people are all crazier and crazier by the second, and there's like murder mysteries involved, and
wow.
it's really good. I just discovered that today from somebody texted me, and I dove right in. So there's my recommendation for the day. Good night, everybody. See you later.
All right. Well, yeah, we got to check that out. I have seen that's been trending online. A lot of people tweeting about it, and I'll check that out for sure, because I'm always up for a documentary, especially when you talk about people that are, what would you say, eccentric? Or
you can't believe they're real. They're so nuts.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, you would figure that people that collect 140 tigers and in the middle of Oklahoma somewhere are a little nuts anyway.
How much would that cost? Does it at any point, do they say what a tiger would cost?
Well, they cost, at one of the zoos, they said it costs $10,000 a year to feed the tiger. And then the other guy said $3,000 a year. But one of the things they do, again, no spoilers, but little details to get you to want to watch. Apparently Walmart and places like this, if O-Dog comes up with a package of wieners and bologna at Walmart, and then his credit card is declined, Walmart is not allowed to put that meat back. And so they just chuck it. So this one guy's
got, why don't they just give it to the guy?
So this guy's got a deal with Walmart where he just takes all the old meat, and it gets rejected and feeds it to the tigers, except the employees are paid so little that they tend to grab the meat before it gets to the tigers. That's just one of many bonkers things in the show.
That's what
crazy.
I don't get. If you touch it and you're not allowed to take it back, why didn't they just say, okay, it must be just quite a show there because people are walking out with everything, but they don't. They just throw it away.
Yeah, no, they won't. They can't give you the meat that way because you could run some sort of scam that way, right? You could come up with O-Dog with 200, you know, pounds of pure beef and then say, oh, my credit card's declined, but I'll just take it, right?
Clearly with this talk, Jimmy, we're missing sports. What do you think is going to kind of cut the deepest when we're not doing it? Is it the Masters, the Stanley Cup playoffs? What is going to hurt the most?
Well, only because of the order, O-Dog, I would say the Masters. Because the Masters, for me, is always, and I think for all of us, it just signifies the beginning of summer. Even though it's not summer in Canada on the second Sunday of April, it feels that way. And for me to be down there, usually the weather is great. And the grounds there are so immaculate. I've talked about it endlessly. You feel you're like you're in this, and I love golf so much, you feel like you're in this one-week little piece of paradise where even though you're working like 14 hours a day, you're at Augusta National, so it doesn't feel like work whatsoever. And to me, that always, you know, you come back from the Masters, and, you know, maybe you can get outside and go to the driving range. It's that time of year, and then you're playing golf a few weeks from then. And to me, it symbolizes the end of winter to me. The playoffs are about to start. This week, I think the playoffs would have started the same week as the Masters, but usually the Masters ends on Sunday and the playoffs start on Wednesday, and it's just my favorite time of year. So I think for all those reasons, that's when it's gonna hurt, but it all will. I mean, when we get to the end of May, when we'd usually be getting ready to go to the Cup Final and we're not doing that, CFL season, if that gets jeopardized, and we don't know that yet, but at the pace we're going here, I'm not sure that will start on time. That's the beginning of July. All those things just kind of roll into one. And it's certainly the strangest time. I've been doing this 30 years now, and this is the strangest time in my career by far. You know, we've had events like 9/11 that have been strange. I remember doing SportsCenter with Dutchie the day of 9/11, and that was a, you know, completely different thing. Where we were all sort of catatonic for a few days there. But this is just, you know, it's still hard to wrap your head around 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever this is going to be.
Well, it's supplying the ability for the ultimate hypotheticals to be thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
And in this city, in Toronto, when it comes to the Maple Leafs, we've thrown them all out over the years. Would you take this to get that?
Right.
If they won a cup, would you do this? And I think there's a possibility, if they play at all, which I'm a cynic, I don't think they're going to play until next season, but let's say they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a real chance that they're going to be playing without a crowd, and potentially, you know, the Toronto community, the Ontario, you know, Ontario, Canada as a whole could still be dealing with self-isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, social distancing rules. Could you imagine the Leafs finally win a Stanley Cup, and no one's allowed to show up in the building? You're not allowed to have a parade. It ends all the parade jokes. It's been 50 years of plan the parade. You literally couldn't plan the parade because they wouldn't be able to have a parade. Would you even want that? Do you think Leaf fans would want it? Just be able to watch the games.
It's funny you ask that, because I asked the exact question on my podcast, our little Puffy's Hypotheticals, and Puffy is the guy who works with me, who's one of the most diehard Leaf fans. And I said that, I said, what I offered to him, Hayes, was this. That exact scenario, no fans at the games, not allowed to gather in bars to watch the games, not allowed to have a parade or any sort of celebration. You will basically watch it on your own in your basement, and that will be it. You won't be able to high-five your buddies or anything. But you win the Stanley Cup. And I gave him an option of a 50-50 chance of winning the cup under regular circumstances for the next 5 years. And he still took the cup.
Yeah, me too.
He said, it's been so long, I don't care what the circumstances are, I want the championship. And I'd be eager to find out, too, I'm sure a lot of your listeners would feel the exact same way. But
I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it.
I don't think I would either, because I think that's all part of it, right? If you
exactly.
think about the Raptors, as
you
crazy
guys on
as,
drugs,
you know,
you wouldn't take it? How do you not take it? You're taking it.
I wouldn't, because it's under false pretenses. We've waited this long. If you're a Leaf fan, you might as well wait another 5 years and flip the coin.
Yeah, I mean, you know what would happen, Brian? 10 years would go by, and you're like, I should have taken it.
No, I'm telling you, man. The idea of not being able to interact, not being able to be in the building, no Maple Leaf Square, no parade, know anything. Just
grab six beers and put them on ice and FaceTime me. I'll be there with you.
Dude, it wouldn't be the same. I'm telling you.
Think about the Raptors win and just everything that went with that. And even though the parade day kind of went south and sour in some ways for the people jammed in and pickled for 8 hours, I think there's, you know, so much of that was where you were, whether you were in the Sports Center newsroom or you're in Maple Leaf Square or in the building or in a bar somewhere. And I just think that has so much to do with, or, you know, look at the most recent Stanley Cup win in St. Louis and people yelling glory at the top of their lungs. And you take all that out of it. And I do think it takes, you know, it takes 75% of the joy of a championship away. Now, again, I'm not a Leaf fan, so I haven't gone through the 50 odd years of pain. And I understand the desire to take a championship in any degree, but I'm with you, Hayes. I think it would just take a lot away from it.
You just mentioned the Raptors. Guess how me and Hayes celebrated the Raptors' victory to win the NBA championship? I FaceTimed him. He was in his living room, and my iPad broke at Jumi's house. So it's like he's good to FaceTime to watch the Raps, yeah, but not the Leafs.
He hated your guts for it because you made him miss all the big plays because you were talking in the background.
Yeah, for starters, let's add a little bit of context there. That was a game on the road. I was in the building for games one, games two, game five, all the home games of the previous series. You know, could you imagine watching Kawhi Leonard hit that shot in game seven and there's no crowd? Like that, it wouldn't, yeah, it's a great shot, but there's no, it wouldn't have the same ambience to it. It wouldn't have the same feeling to it. We were all at the parade. Right. So we got to do the parade. We got to be in the building. That was a game on the road.
Norman Rockwell painting right now because of all the faces in the background, right? Not just the players on the bench, but
exactly
all those faces in the crowd. And you know what? I don't want to bring this down even more, but I'm even more cynical than you. I have grave concerns about the start of next year and in the entirety of the next seasons in the NFL and the NHL, simply because, you know, I've been reading a lot on this thing, and if things go well, maybe we'll have a normal summer here. If you're an optimist, that maybe I really think that Torontonians and Canadians in general seem to be doing a better job than a lot of places in the world, including south of the border, as far as adhering to the rules. And so, if we continue and we can curb this, and maybe by May or June, the rules. My dog just crashed into a lamp. I'm sorry. That maybe summer will return to some normalcy, and the fact that summer sometimes kills viruses. But then everybody talks about the second wave coming in the fall, and I could see an NHL season or an NFL season starting, and then, you know, a month in or early November or late October or something, one fan or one player tests positive, and here we go again. And so I just have trouble wrapping my head around the idea of an NFL or an NHL or an NBA season next season having fans in the stands and completing an entire season.
Which
seems
to
be what these leagues are hanging on, right? Is right now what you keep hearing the NHL say, we're not going to risk the integrity of next season for this season. So they're already, it seems to me, looking forward to, okay, we have to find a way, even if we lose this season, to have an 82-game season next year with all the fans in the stands. And I'm just not sure that's realistic at all right now from what we're hearing.
You just said it, James. The idea, and it's a tough way to think about it, the idea of going from where we are right now to being in a stadium packed with people, man, that seems like a tough deal.
You're right.
You're
right.
March, and that's September, October, right? So, I mean, every day right now feels like a month. So imagine what 5-6 months feels like. Maybe we'll have changed and things will have changed. But you're right. I have trouble seeing it.
Yeah, you're right, but let me just throw a little context in here because I know we're heading down a doom and gloom path. It wasn't that long ago that things were normal, and to me, I think there's some bright minds out there. I think there's somewhere in between. Like I as much as 95% of the news and everything on TV is doom and gloom, I'm also reading articles about, you know, cutting edge smart people that are looking at cures and antibodies and all of that. And in Canada alone, Sunnybrook Hospital, I think they read an article the other day. So let's have some positive vibes here too.
No, and I'm apologize for bringing that down, but that is my opinion, Noodles. But I'm with you too. And technology is probably our greatest asset here. tiger.
Right.
And they're so good with what they're, you know, you're already talking about these new tests that are coming out that can diagnose in 30 minutes, and where might we be in 6 months? Might it be to the point where, yes, this virus is still around us, but you can walk into a stadium and get checked, you know, with some sort of device that checks you in 30 seconds that says if you have it or for have a temperature or something. They already have those things in China. That's when China was on its lockdown, every time you walked into a building, they had these things that took temperatures of people. So I think you're right. I think there's a lot of hope that if we can buy time, that months down the road, they'll find some sort of solutions here. But I just think, again, that anybody that's saying right now we're guaranteed to have a full season next year is, I don't think that's an accurate statement either.
James Kunkang Haji Ni Shio. That means stay healthy in Korean, buddy.
I saw on the Twitter that were you reading that or did you know that?
No, I had read it. My wife's helping me learn Korean.
I'm so proud of you because I had so many plans for this thing. And I'm working out, and I saw Hayes' thing. Have you been sticking to your guns yet, Hayes?
No, I haven't. The answer's no.
So I've run every day, and I've tried to work out every day. So I'm doing 2 days. Basically, I'm in camp, 2 days. But I've done nothing else. I was thinking about learning the guitar and learning Spanish and digitizing 8,000 old photos, and
That's sorry to interrupt, James. That's what we need to do, everyone. So O is going to learn how to speak Korean. We've got to come up with one thing that we all have to learn during this break. You know, like I call it a break during this pandemic. So Hayes, you got to figure it out. I've got to figure it out.
Wait, does it have to be the same thing?
No. You've got to figure out something that you want to do or something that you want to learn while you've got nothing but time on your hands.
Right.
That's what we got to figure out. And we should do some form of, not a bracket, but we got to do it for everyone at TSN.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we'll do it. We got a lot of time to put our minds together here. We probably won't do it, but we'll say we're going to do it right now.
I'm just going to say I'm going to learn French, and hopefully nobody realizes that I know it already.
There you go. You go. You're all good, buddy. All right, man. Well, thank you for doing this, James.
Bonne journée. J'espère que tout est bien. I had to answer a little bit there, but I've forgotten everything since grade 7 immersion anyway.
A too.
Hey, too.
Hey, too.
See you, boys. All the best. You don't underestimate your value in this time. I love listening to you still, and I know all your listeners feel the same. It's as much as you're idiots, that's what I love about you. And when I'm in the car dropping my daughter off at the grocery store and staying in isolation in the car while she goes in and gets the groceries, because that's what she does, she's pretty much become my slave. I'll always have you guys on, so please keep it up.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you, James.
Okay, boys.
All right, buddy. There's James Duthie.